News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Got the text line at 251-343-0106. That also doubles up as the phone number if you want to give us a call and join us on Mobile Mornings. We've had a few calls here the last few days. It's always good to hear your voice, not just see some of your thoughts or your opinion online, but where we can actually have a conversation, go back and forth. So feel free. Again, 251-343-0106.
And we got a lot to get to this hour. Rob Holbert with Lanyap joins us in the second half of the hour, and plenty, of course, to discuss with him. First, I want to start with this text, and we'll get into this gaming bill, but the Auburn-Alabama game last night, I mean, it started off, it was heated. Actually, it was heated all the way through the game, but at least it was close to start, and then you had Auburn by the end of it. There was so much physicality in that game, so much passion,
yeah,
that there were a ton of free throws. Auburn set a program record. They made 40 of the 50 free throws they were given. That's what Wayne this morning texted in. Good morning, guys. Wow. 50 free throws for Auburn? Did Alabama have any players left on the court at the end of the game?
You know, that's a funny take on it, but you think about that. How did you spread out all those fouls and keep people, anybody, eligible?
Yeah, I mean, they're shooting a pair of free throws just about every other minute.
Crazy.
With that, but Alabama had 35 that they shot, so wow. They made 28 of those 35.
I'm sure the game slugged along then if you had that many stoppages in play for free throws, but you said the place was jumping, right?
Well, the game took forever.
I'm sure it did.
8:30. So they started at 6. Game didn't end until 8:30.
Really?
Which is a good 30 minutes longer than the average length of a college basketball game.
They've always got another game ready to poised to telecast right after that, and that messed up the whole schedule.
So for the Bama starting five, two fouled out. And two had four fouls, and then two more off the bench with four fouls.
Wow.
So they were getting hammered last night.
The young guest that Jeff had on, I think she worked for someone. She was a staffer for somebody, but she's also an Auburn student. You know, talking to her yesterday up at the State House, and she was talking about a lot of fans, students had slept the night, you know, the night at the arena
to get tickets,
make sure they got tickets. So she said, I'm here. There's no way I'm going to get any seats to tonight's game.
Well, they didn't look too tired last night.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were the night.
Very energized.
Seriously. And we'll be energized tonight. Got parades. Mystic Stripers roll tonight in Mobile. They are the only parade, I believe, on either side of the bay. That's at 6:30. And then, of course, parades tomorrow night all the way through Fat Tuesday. And looking at a lot of rain from tomorrow night through at least Lundy Gras.
Yep.
And then Fat Tuesday's looking really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Fat Tuesday, probably a little cool, like 60 degrees, but should be clear skies and good to go.
So this gaming package, and it was surprising. You know, we talked with Jeff Poor yesterday after Governor Ivey's State of the State address Tuesday night, and I thought it was notable that she was so direct when she began talking about gambling. She said, you know, wholeheartedly she wants Alabamians to vote on a gambling referendum. She just like, it's kind of the company line in Montgomery is Alabamians deserve the right to vote on gaming. They're not saying whether they want it or not, just that Alabamians deserve the right to vote. And now the details of this bill are out, and honestly, it doesn't look much different than the gaming bill from 2021, which began in the Senate and then died before the end of the legislative session. And from what I recall, from what I've been reading this morning as well, that 2021 bill that they focused on mostly through the session was comprehensive. And then at the very end of the session, when they realized it didn't look likely to pass the House, they tried instead for just a lottery-only bill. And the Democrats said that the Republicans were playing tricks on them by putting that lottery bill in so late, no one had time to read it. So we ended up with nothing in 2021. And then I can't remember if any bills were introduced in 2022, but they went nowhere. 2023, no bills were introduced last year, and that brought us to this year. Now, looking back, last year with no gaming bills in, everyone who's involved was pointing towards this year being the year where something might happen because of the general election and so many people will be on the ballot. But going into the session, it seemed like there was some momentum lost. And so Governor Ivey, she sneaks that in her State of the State. Jeff Poor said that was a very late addition.
Yeah.
That I guess maybe they finalized what the gaming bill would look like Tuesday afternoon.
Right, the behind-the-scenes negotiations and wranglings got it done, like at the, at the gun. And so then they inserted it into the speech.
She gives it her full endorsement.
Yeah, you were talking about 2 years ago. This is interesting. I think this is what you were reading, too. Republican leaders, this is the gaming negotiations, I guess you would say, back in 2021. Republican leaders in the House sought to introduce a lottery-only proposal kind of late in the game, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Even late at night. And Representative Chris Englund, Democrat from Tuscaloosa, said the late-hour lottery-only proposal was a surprise to Democrats who had been in negotiations on the more comprehensive bill. He said that it did not bode well for agreements going forward. I don't know what the last day is going to hold here, Englund said at the time. But one thing I did not expect is that somebody could sit across the table from me and tell me we're working on something and then go throw it into the trash can for political reasons. Evidently, what do you think about this, Dalton? That's not going to happen this year. Do you think that are most of these legislators in lockstep on gambling, and that's why they, or is there still going to have to be pressure?
I don't think there's lockstep. Now, Jeff was talking with Craig Monger yesterday, who's been getting info from different. He was also surprised at how quickly this moved Tuesday night. He said a lot of the maybes on the gaming bill are now yeses, and a lot of the noes are now maybes. But we've had momentum behind something like this before. And we've had momentum behind plenty of legislation before, which looks like it's a sure thing. And then they get started and everything falls apart. And then you end up fighting over a lottery only bill at the end of the session instead of passing the gaming bill early. But looking at this plan, it looks very similar to the one they had in 2021 that did not make it across the finish line. That one back then had a lottery, six new casinos in addition to the PCI casinos, sports betting, and a statewide regulatory commission. And that's exactly what's in the plans for this gaming bill.
Yeah.
Six extra casinos, the three PCI casinos. You have one in Atmore, of course, Wetumpka and Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And then they could potentially build another PCI one in, was it Macon County? Or I can't remember which county in the northern part of the state. So that would make it 10 total brick-and-mortar casinos. In addition to that, sports gaming. I'm not sure if that would be only inside the brick-and-mortar casinos, or if you would be able to do it via mobile sports gaming like Mississippi's doing this legislative session. But that's pretty much the exact same thing. 10 casinos, one of those would be in Mobile. I guess they're still looking at the dog track in Theodore.
The property there, right?
The property there.
And then transform it into something new.
Which I drove by there last week, full parking lot. I guess they're still doing the historical races. I guess that's what they're gaming on there at the dog park now.
Wow, full parking lot.
As full as I've seen it in a long, long time. And it would be, of course, much more full if it was an actual casino.
Tell me again what you said about the yeses and the maybes and how all that kind of people were moving either from maybe to yes and from no to maybe.
Right, exactly. So everyone shifted, at least a little bit, according to Monger, over the last week, or at least since everyone made it back into town in Montgomery.
So you wonder, that would be, you know, it would, that kind of movement like that would seem to me to occur after a series of enticements or threats. Like, look, we need this, so here's what we can do for you. Or, hey, look, we need this, so you don't want to mess this up because that bridge you were talking about, you know, something like that, where you either entice lawmakers in certain districts, here's how we can help you out.
Right.
Or you say, if you don't, good luck.
I'm sure there's been all kinds of that wrangling going on.
I would guess, yeah.
But what was it that changed the minds, right? Because this
might have been different deals among the lawmakers.
Now, one major difference, it seems, this year than when this failed a few years ago is the focus on the illegal gaming that's going on around the state.
Yeah, they've made that like if we don't have gaming, then all this illegal stuff's really, really spreading around.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of nefarious stuff tied to it and all that. So, yeah, I don't remember that being part of the conversation in 2021.
It wasn't from the legislators' side of things as much. I'm sure the AG was talking about it then. But I found this interesting. Looking back at that 2021 bill, PCI, the Portage Band of Creek Indians, was talking about illegal gaming then at the time. They said the longer this issue is, this is Kristen Helmick with Portage Band of Creek Indians spokesperson. Right. The longer this issue is not addressed, unregulated illegal gaming will continue. So PCIs were certainly pushing for an end to the illegal gaming. And I don't know who else was on board that, but maybe that's the big difference, is that in addition to putting out lottery and sports and casino gaming, that they would crack down on the illegal ones, and that maybe bought a little bit more support. I'm not sure. But the revenue projections also for this, I don't know. They didn't really change their projections much for the revenue this would bring in from 3 years ago. And a lot has changed since then in the economy. So I'm kind of surprised they haven't changed these projections much. But according to the four who put this bill together and who had this presser yesterday, casinos would bring in yearly revenue to the state, $298 million to $422 million. Sports betting, they said, would bring in $10 million, which is really interesting, and I'll lay these numbers out for you even further. In Vegas, how much airtime and discussion sports gaming gets, but then how little of the haul sports betting actually is for these casinos. Casinos bring in $298 to $422 million. Sports betting bringing in $10 million yearly. Lottery, they say, would bring in $194 million per year in revenue. And then the compact with the Portage Band of Creek Indians, $300 million, which would total for the state coffers $802 to $1 billion per year. And then they would break those monies out, like they do everything, into the general fund and also the education trust fund. You would have, let's see, the general fund budget reserve fund would take the casino and sports betting revenue until it reaches $300 million, that fund.
150 right now, right?
Yeah, it's at 150. So casino and sports betting, that goes to the general fund once they get another $150 million in revenue there. And then the lottery money would go towards education, just like we see in so many states that have state lotteries. That money would go towards the education trust fund. Once they fill the general fund budget reserve at $300 million, 95% of the money thereafter would go towards a gaming trust fund. The other 5% would go to the county commission where the casinos are located.
Right.
So counties would be getting money too.
And the city would get money if the city, if the, they get 2%
inside
of the
city.
Five. Yeah.
Yeah. Two of that 5% share that's going to the county. So really interesting. A lot of it's similar to 2021, but I guess they feel they have a better chance of it making through this year.
You know, it's funny. What gets my attention is the last thing in the first paragraph. And the last thing in the first paragraph is they're going to have state lotteries, as many as 10 casinos, sports betting, and a statewide gambling regulatory commission.
Oh, yeah. The commission.
Who's going to be on the old commission, you wonder? Well, You can guess from this. The 9-member commission is going to include 4 members appointed by the governor. All right, so it's up to her. 2 by the House Speaker, so they're all going to be appointed. 1 picked from a list of recommended by the House Minority Leader. 2 appointed by the President pro tem of the Senate. Okay. And let's see, we have any more left here?
Yeah, one of them from the Senate Minority Leader.
Yeah.
So you'll get both the Senate and House Minority Leader to recommend a pick, a piece for the commission. The others you listed, and then Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth would also be able to appoint one.
How do you get on that list? Why do you get on that list?
Mm. Well,
I'm just throwing it out there. Like, okay, these people are going to be, I would think they're going to play a pretty big role in all of this. It's going to be a lot of money suddenly, right? This is all new money. And now these 9 people, all appointed, some we know are going to be appointed because of their current position. Others, you know what? I like old Tommy over here.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get on that, and why would you want to be on
that? You're going to get people on that board who don't need to be on the board. If I were hand selecting the board, you'd want some legal experts, right? Mm-hmm. You'd want some business experts.
Yep.
You'd also want to get somebody who's done this,
yep.
Which I think the Medical Cannabis Commission, they are really in trouble because they're not using the template that's been put out there by other states. If we do the same thing with gaming, we're going to go through the exact same thing. So why not get somebody who did this before with another state?
because it's all political. Mm-hmm. And you know, the cannabis thing speaks for itself. But this looks like a pretty powerful board to be on. Who wouldn't want to be on it? And exactly why do you want to be on it? Just curious. 821, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Feel free to reach out on the text line, 251-343-0106. Unnamed texter says, dog track parking lot is full of Amazon and FedEx tracks.
Ah.
Okay. All right.
So I saw a lot of regular vehicles out there, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, a few other texts about it.
Yeah. Derek says, as far as the money, where all this gaming revenue would go, the casino and sports gaming money revenue going towards the general fund budget until it reaches a certain point. Then they push that money back towards county commissions and the gaming regulation itself. And then the lottery going towards education trust fund. Derek says, we already have $3.2 billion in the ETF that we don't use. What is more going to do? Well, what it will do, what it could do, is take that other percentage point off the grocery tax that won't be reduced this year. If you've got the education trust fund growing because of a lottery, they'll start taking the tax further off the groceries.
Yeah,
but
that'd be a good idea.
But I think the main thing is that's just what they're going to have to do to get it across. You just don't see – I'd love to see a state that is running a state lottery and the money doesn't go towards education. I'm sure they're out there, but I don't go towards roads or whatever it may be. Maybe that's what Mississippi is putting a lot of – their money into his roads, but usually lottery equals education, and that isn't going to change even if you got $3 billion in your coffers.
Yeah, you're talking about politically. That's how you get it passed. You say, hey, it's going to go to the kids.
It's for the kids.
Yeah,
the oldest trick in the books. Dell says the gaming board is a Big Brother version of the ABC board, big money. Yeah, there's going to be. I mean, you talk about the power in the state. We already talk about the major power players, of course, whether it's RSA or Business Council or AEA. But the Gaming Commission, the ABC Board, the Medical Marijuana Commission, all of the vice commissions, pretty big power. And that's because there's so much money involved here. But I hope that the governor and lieutenant governor and House Speaker and Pro Tem, I hope that they pick the right people to make this as seamless as possible. They clearly did not do that for the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to go through those same troubles, you've got to get people with experience in bringing gaming to a state. I just think that's an imperative in this case.
So looks like 48 states allow some form of
lotto
gambling. Hawaii, check this out. Hawaii, gambling was outlawed prior to statehood. So before they became a state, they said, well, here's one thing we've got to get rid of. Interesting, right? Just maybe a cultural thing. The other state that does not have gambling is Utah, where you have massive Mormon presence, I guess. So that might be kind of a, look at it like a sin. Mm-hmm. And so it's simply not there. There's that. Be interested to go to Utah one time.
Yeah, that'd be a great visit. I did want to break down. So this is just from Nevada casinos in 1 month last year. We talk about sports gaming so much, but where the real money is in the slots and on the tables. So Nevada casinos last year in 1 month alone made $108 million on blackjack. This is net win. $108 million on blackjack, $40 million on craps, $40 million on roulette, $194 million on baccarat, $25 million on sports betting, and $275 million on penny slots.
Wow, penny slots.
1 month, penny slots out-revenued sports gaming about 13 to 1.
Wow. Tells you a lot right there. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, 8:34. Rolling into the Mystic Stripers tonight, and on we go with Crew of Columbus, MOTs on Saturday, kind of the headliners.
No, they're not.
And then, of course,
not on Saturday. Oh. It's about the Mobile Command Unit. That's the headliner.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about us. We'll be
Floral
there.
Parade.
That's right. We'll be there. All right, so 8:35 now with Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing great. We are in the Mardi Gras mood, just like everyone around here. And
we're getting into deep gras, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I think it officially begins today, right? Deep gras?
Yeah, and, I would say that. You know, if deep gras exists as a thing, it begins today, right?
Yep, I agree.
That's right. And on the cover, you got the baby, you got the Mobile Mardi Gras beads, and you got the king cake.
We've been doing the hard work, you know, we always do, and so we've been eating king cakes almost every single day to try to, I don't even know if we really have, we had a king cake kind of contest in the office, like where we rated king cakes or whatever, but for some reason we haven't really written about it. I think we've all just gained a lot of weight. But, we have eaten a lot of different types of king cakes, so, you know, they're all beautiful in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brady Petrie's got a story about how they're putting different bakeries are putting different spins, their own spin.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, he writes about. He caught up with a couple different local bakeries and talked to them about how they do it. You know, you got your traditionalists with the cream cheese, but then the Bavarian cream is in there now. You know, you got meat. There's all sorts of stuff. People are doing all sorts of crazy stuff that. Those of us who are older, Dan, you and I remember the days when the king cake was just a very dusty, I think it was made out of cardboard or maybe back in the early days.
Hey, also.
They didn't have any, there was no moisture at all allowed in the king cake.
So this year, the video highlights of Mardi Gras to this point are a collapsing horse and ladies and gentlemen falling off floats.
Those happen, you know. People, gravity's still out there.
It is.
Yeah, it's tough.
Good turnout and really decent weather. I know we've had a couple rainy parade days, and then we're going to have more on the way, but I think a lot of...
Sunday, primarily.
Yeah, a lot of folks will show up this weekend, though.
Yeah, for an early Mardi Gras so far, it's been pretty good. Usually when they're this early, it's
cold. It's
pneumonia city.
Yeah, talking to Dr. Bill about that, you know, when we were anticipating this Mardi Gras season, it's like, wow, it's only 2 weeks away. It's going to start. They're on Dolphin Island already. And we were worried that it might be chilly, but that's pretty much not been the case at all.
Yeah, and, you know, also thoughts and prayers to our local legislators, just the way things worked out this year. They won't be at Mardi Gras because they're in Montgomery.
Yep.
They're doing the people's business in Montgomery. So all the locals, maybe some will make it back this weekend, I'm sure.
That just means more ramen noodles for us.
That's exactly right. Rob, they're in session, gaveled in Tuesday in Montgomery. Ivy's State of the State on Tuesday night. You get the reveal of the gaming legislation yesterday, and the school choice bill, that discussion came Tuesday night as well from Ivy. Those seem to be the two main focuses of this year's legislative session.
Yeah, those are going to be big deals. You know, the gambling legislation, there's still a couple things that, you know, obviously it's all being brought in together. It's an all-in-one bill, which is, you know, it's as people had asked for before, a clean lottery bill or a clean gambling bill. Those are not. So it's all together, you know, up or down. It sounds like there's some momentum for a vote this time, but I've got the only real question. Well, there's a couple questions, but the main question I have still unanswered is, you know, they say, well, there are going to be certain counties that have the ability to have a casino, and then also that the Porch Creek Indians will have a certain number of casinos, and Mobile County is counted as one of those. But I'm just curious whether if the Porch Creek Indians decide to do a casino at the dog track in Theodore, does that preclude Mobile from having another casino? And I don't have the answer to that yet. We're trying to find that out, but that's something that we ought to know.
Yeah.
We need to know before going into it.
Right. You're right about that. Mobile, let's see, Macon County, Greene County, Mobile County, Birmingham, Houston County, Lowndes County. What, and of course the Porch Creeks are going to get another casinos. Could one of it be one of those six? Is that what you're saying, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just making sure that's the thing I want to know. Like to know, and we're trying to find that out. But, you know, if they're saying, okay, you can have one in Mobile County, but that becomes one of the spots is the dog track out in Theodore, does that stop us from having another one? I think that would be, you know, that would be bad for Mobile County, I think. And, you know, it's kind of strange. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of this whole limited sort of thing where we say, okay, you can only have them in these places and these people only get this many, because I think it creates a lot of trouble. Look at the medical marijuana.
No kidding. We're making that comparison this morning.
I agree completely that this would be so much better if it was more privatized and the state takes it off the top. But we've seen with alcohol and medical marijuana, it's not going to be the case. You'd think that they could, if you were worried about quality of life, that certain cities or communities could use zoning to keep casinos out of certain areas. But the private industry, it just seems like it would be so much more, work so much more smoothly. And Rob, we just talked with someone with a little more insight into the bill. I think one of the major differences from this bill, from the last one, is they aren't going to mandate that these casinos be put in these old tracks or old, like they could be elsewhere within the county.
Right.
So your question is, if they put one at the dog track, will Porch PCI, will they still be able to put one in Mobile or wherever? Will there be two in Mobile County?
Could Gulf Quest then become a casino or, something else? Could the GM&O building, whatever, just something, could there be another opportunity to do that?
Hmm.
I think that there's, having been in Mississippi when casinos started over there, I was not a big fan of it. I thought it was just going to be kind of a money grab and leave type of situation. Obviously the transformation over there has been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's some bad with it, but if you remember Biloxi before that and you remember Ocean Springs before that, they are vastly different than they used to be. And I think, for people who, I think there will be, if they would make it open where, people can come in and actually do what they need to do or want to do, you'll see some development. But I don't think you're going to see it develop every little town in Alabama's not going to have a casino, especially if there are some thresholds, like you've got to put X amount of dollars. I think you've got to put $5 million in just to start with.
That's right. Yes.
Guarantee at least 30-something million investment. So, those are some issues that are going to have to be worked out. And, I don't know if it's good or bad for this whole thing to be all in one. People want a lottery. I think that everything shows people want a lottery. Do the Albanians want casino gambling as a whole? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, so if they do pass this entire, the full gaming bill, and then it falls because of casino or sports in the on the ballot, how long would it take them to work their way back to just a clean lottery?
Man.
It's a lot on the line if they do go with it this session. And, Rob, one of the things that Dan and I focused on this morning was this potential gaming commission. 9 people that would be on the commission. The governor would have her selection of a few, and then you've got House Speaker, Senate Pro Tem, and then the minority leaders also get recommendations, and the lieutenant governor. But I can't help but compare a potential gaming commission to what's been going on with the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission and the many missteps they've made. Hopefully they could use that as some guidelines as to who they need to put on the gaming commission, right?
Yeah,
I think you can look at Mississippi and see what they've done.
Yeah.
I know Alabamians hate to look at Mississippi and say, gee, they're doing it better than we did.
Yeah.
But that is, I think they've done it pretty well over there. Overall, there needs to be a commission. There needs to be some way to, I hate to say regulate, but at least make sure that what's coming in is supported, that they have money, that there are people that, that are bringing casinos in that have a background in doing some of this stuff. So, there needs to be some standards. But I think when you get into this whole thing of saying, well, you can only have them here, you can only have this many, you're going to run into the same kinds of issues. People are going to lose their minds about it, and there's going to be lawsuits, and there's going to be feelings that somebody got the deal, because they know somebody else, and that's always going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, just for instance, I'm looking at Governor Kay Ivey is going to be tasked with appointing 4 members.
Mm-hmm.
Are these 4?
Yeah.
Who are they, and what are their qualifications, and how are they going to advance this thing along in a positive way? what are the qualifications? Are you business people? Are you, you know, is this completely political? I'm really curious about this this gambling commission.
Yeah, and
it's going to be, you know, if it is passed, and you know, that's the big thing is that, you know, I think that obviously, I think everybody feels like if you put a lottery on the ballot, it would pass at this point. Mm-hmm. I think that's the general feeling. The reason that it's all put together is because there's the hope that lottery drags the other parts across the finish line.
Right.
You know,
right.
The feeling is, hey, we put a casino out there by itself. We put sports betting out there by itself. They're not going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been the whole thing all along. And,
yeah.
It's coming at it from a different way this time, coming from the House. Maybe it will make it through the legislature. We'll see.
Also, Rob, this week in the Mobile City Council, discussion over the falling bricks once again, and I think a pretty smart move. I mean, if we're talking about completely redeveloping the Civic Center, completely,
like a brand new building,
tearing it down,
yeah.
why put in a $250,000 fix for some falling bricks? That's what they were talking about this last week at the council.
It doesn't make any sense to do that if you're going to pivot now to doing a new civic center. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've gotten in there and found that, hey, this thing's going to take a lot more than we thought it was. Maybe what the mayor needs to do, because of the falling bricks and the falling people off of floats, is repeal gravity for the next few weeks.
We have no choice.
I think that's the smart thing is just, you know, if you're going to redo the whole thing, don't waste $250,000 just to shore it up. But mm-hmm. But it needs to get started. You know, if it's going to be out there for the next 5 years with fencing, keeping the bricks away, then, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, we were earlier this week batting around the office why the bricks all of a sudden started falling. I would imagine it has something to do with the construction that's going on, you know, 200 feet away. I don't know how much impact
may,
is going into the ground,
you know,
but yeah.
I mean, who knows? There's maybe some vibrations.
Maybe able to save money on demolishing the Civic Center if they
work. Could it just be shoddy construction from the get-go? I don't know, you know.
I think they should knock down the building that they're working on now, just so it would give us something to talk about. Really,
yeah, that would
just want to knock something. Down.
I just want to, people falling off of floats, great. Knocking stuff down, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like a 9-year-old behind a microphone.
Oh,
here.
that is for sure, Rob.
Yeah, you just want that big ball that you can swing through the side of a building.
Oh, Rob, I've got a story for you. When in Columbus, Georgia, when the old Civic Center or whatever the auditoriums they used to call them, right? I probably were built in the late 40s, early 50s, whatever. I was tasked at that time in Columbus with swinging the big ball. I was the first one up.
You were the demolisher.
I was the
That would be a dream. You know, for most guys, that would be a dream.
It was like a Tonka truck dream, right? And guess what?
Did you miss the building?
I didn't miss the building, but it had more impact on the ball than it did the building. I think the ball almost broke. I said, well, I'm Dan Brennan. I'll see y'all later. It was pretty embarrassing.
You gave it the old college try.
I did.
That's too good. Rob, a lot of great information in this week's Lanyap, but a lot of reasons to sign up online. We have the primaries coming up, a lot of great political information that will be in there, and also Tommy Hicks with sports. Plenty to pick up on Lanyap.
Absolutely. So, you know, go online at lanyapmobile.com, get signed up. It's $1 for the first month. It's just $1.50 a week after that.
Yes.
50 a month. So, yeah, it's cheap news, and we're putting stuff up there every day, and it helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Thanks. And speaking of signing up, Tommy's got a great, great comprehensive list of young student athletes from different schools.
Signing with colleges?
Who they're signing with, yeah.
Oh,
Rob, appreciate it a lot, and we'll talk again in 1 week, okay?
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend. Happy Mardi Gras.
Rob Holbert.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Live from RV City. Not really. It's live from the Lanyap offices. And that's Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Coming back, we'll wrap up. Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. Great story about Toby Keith on the way and Merle Haggard. 854 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Great story about Toby Keith and fellow late great Merle Haggard on the way in just a second. Headed to the Boom Boom tonight, 6:30, Mystic Stripers Roll. Some Mardi Gras safety tips from our friends over at Tobias and Comer Law. Make sure you're staying aware of your surroundings and mindful of the parade route. And I know adults need these rules, but definitely let the kids know how to stay safe out there at Mardi Gras. Don't touch or grab at float riders or their throws. we've seen already, they're having a hard enough time staying on the float. Keep a safe distance from the floats and parade vehicles, and do not cross barricades. I know there's a pretty good fine for that, too. And make sure you follow the rules or guidelines set by the parade organizers. This is an important one, tough one sometimes at Mardi Gras. Limit alcohol consumption to avoid accidents and remain aware of your surroundings. And then, of course, the obvious one, 100%, if you do drink, make sure you call an Uber or a Lyft or a friend or a taxi. There's too many excuses to have a DUI these days. Too many reasons to not drive when you've been drinking. Tobias and Comer Law, great law firm, great personal injury law firm, great people, and some really good information at their site, tobiascomerlaw.com. You can also call for a free consultation at any time, 251-432-5001. That's tobiascomerlaw.com.
I got a great idea for the Gambling Commission. So when they're all appointed, they are they don't even reveal their last names. It's like Lefty. Bugsy.
Bugsy. Yeah. Like all old Vegas gambling names.
Big Lou, Tony the Bull.
Big Lou, yeah, yeah. So that's Blind Bart over there. Yeah. Blind
our
Billy.
Nine commissioners here in the state, we never even get to learn their last names. They just got the gambling commission names. Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to have some cards in there, too, for these commission meetings when things get boring.
Yeah.
You know, play a couple hands.
Yeah.
So this Toby Keith story, I saw this, you know, after it was announced that he passed away on Monday night, and we talked a lot about the life of Toby Keith on Tuesday.
Needed to be talked about.
For sure. Listen to this story. This is from Brad Luttrell on Twitter.
This is an awesome story.
He says, one of my favorite Toby Keith tales is how he jumped in to save the day for one of Merle Haggard's last shows. Now, Merle, he played for a long time. My parents ended up seeing him just before he passed.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know how far before he passed they saw him, but he ended up passing away in 2016. He said, this Toby story, it was actually this time of year, Super Bowl time. Merle had canceled months of shows, but needed to play this one to pay his crew. He was sick at that point. The show was in Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Ballroom. Toby Keith was in town with his wife when he heard Merle was also there. The two met up, but Merle was in rough shape. Musician Earl Brown said that Merle needed to be in a hospital, not on a stage. But Merle needed to pay his crew. He hadn't been performing for months. And as they say in Vegas, the show must go on. They said Merle knew the show was going to be tough, so he asked Toby, how many songs of mine do you know? And Toby said, all of them. And Merle asked him back, all of them? And Toby said, yep, and I won't need a teleprompter. And Merle said, well, stay nearby. So Merle Haggard did a few songs, but his infected lungs were spent. He then said, we've got a special guest here tonight. And Toby came out saying the rest of the Haggard show.
That is
rest for the Hag. Merle was
so
performing
cool.
One of his last concerts. He ended up passing away 2 months later, but Toby got his band paid, and the audience saw something incredible that night.
Yeah.
What a story.
That's a great story. I mean, and the fact that they're both Oklahomans. Am I right about that? Was Merle from Oklahoma?
And from Muskogee.
Yeah, that's right. And Toby famously also from Oklahoma, so Merle had to be like a, you know, one of the. I would think that Toby, when he first met Merle, probably was so starstruck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when they were at the end of his life, and he died in 2016, so this would have been this year, this time of year, in 2016.
8 years ago.
Yeah, and Toby's able to step in. And he just happened to be there with his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's able to step in, say, when you need me, call me out of the bullpen, and I'm ready to sing all those songs because I know every last one of them, and I know the words to every one of them, and this show is going to go on just great. And that's the way it happened.
That's amazing.
Really is.
Just points to the kind of guy he was, too, Toby and Merle. The fact that he was going to try to play that show to get his band paid.
Yeah.
Very, very good. A couple more suggestions for commission members' names.
Yeah.
Guido and Knuckles.
I like Knuckles a lot. That's where I'm going with it. Thank you very much. It's 8:58. Jeff Poor's show is straight ahead. Mobile Morning's back with you. The highly celebrated Friday edition tomorrow beginning at 6:00.